Well, good evening. It is an honor for me to be here as well. I want to give honor to whom honor is due. First of all, I want to honor Pastor Ronnie. I know he's not here tonight, but we want to give honor to him because, and he's doing a great job. Yeah. You know, I started to think about when he did his first sermon here, and to see where God has brought him to where he is right now. It's just been nothing short of amazing, hasn't it? So I want to thank him for that. And then I want to also give Pastor Ron and certainly Pastor Paulette and really all the entire staff here at Abba's house. One thing that I'm blessed about this house, we got a talented staff here. We've got good people, Pastor Ken and Pastor Angie and Pastor Denise and just the entire staff. And I also wanted to give honor to the other folks that were preaching in this series, Pastor Seth and Adam and Teresa Biggs. Didn't Teresa do a great job last week? You know, so it's just been kind of cool to see this. And I started thinking about this message. You know, Pastor Ronnie asked me about 3 weeks ago. He sent me a text and he said, would you be interested in preaching for me on August 15th? And of course, you know, when you ask a teacher or a preacher, would you be interested in teaching? That's just like asking my dog if he wants to go outside. You know, yeah, okay, we can do that, right? So, but then he said, and the topic of the series that I'm doing is called Fresh. I said, okay. So I was hoping for a little more information, and I didn't get anything else. He said, fresh. And he said, okay, I'll see you on August 15th. Okay. So at first I said, well, Lord, what do you want to do with that? And I went for the easy stuff at first, you know, like fresh anointing. Okay, that sounded good and easy, but that sounded too cliche. And so really what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I talk a lot about finances and money and that sort of thing. And just to give you a little background on me, several years ago, I used to minister in this area pretty heavily. How many of you remember Larry Burkett? You remember him? He was one of kind of the first guys that did the financial stuff. And then he was even before Financial Peace and all these other things that are going on out there. And I was doing things. I was teaching and preaching and ministering in churches and actually even had my own radio show here in town, okay? And for whatever reason, well, I know what the reason was. I got a little discouraged. And the reason why I got discouraged, it didn't seem like that we were getting much fruit out of it. You know, you teach people things and concepts and stuff, but it didn't seem like anybody was doing anything. They would hear it, and then they'd kind of do their own thing again. So I got a little bit discouraged about it, and then eventually I sort of drifted away from that. And then another thing, during that time, if you remember, you probably hear a lot of people talking about prosperity preachers, right? And I didn't want to be kind of labeled into that area and that kind of stuff because, oh, here comes a guy talking about money again, one of those prosperity preachers and all that kind of stuff. And so I sort of just kind of backed away from it, okay? But the Lord kind of convicted me. And he said, you need to get back into doing what I called you to do, okay? And here's what he said, it was kind of a sting. He said, listen, Clarence, when I tell you to do something, you're responsible to be obedient. Leave the results to me. And that's for somebody, okay? Because a lot of times when we're doing things for the Lord, we want to see results, don't we? Okay? And we don't know what part of the process we're in, though. We might be the one that's just planting the seed. We might be the one that's watering the seed. But who provides the increase? God provides the increase. So I'm getting back to doing what God has called me to do. Okay. So the title of this message tonight is we're going to be preaching out of Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay. And I think many of you have heard this before, and it says this: But remember the Lord God, for it is He. He gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore unto your ancestors. Now, there's really two parts to that scripture. The first part of that, God giving you the ability or the power to get wealth. How many of you believe that? Right? He gives you the ability or power to get wealth. And the second part of that is that so he might establish his covenant, okay? Now, I'm going to preach on the first part of it. And I'd heard this preached and taught and read a lot about it, but I wasn't real satisfied with what I heard. I wasn't really satisfied with what it meant, okay? And so I said, God, I want to understand, what are you saying here, okay? You're saying that you're giving your people the power to get wealth, but what does that really mean? Because not only do, you know, God's people get wealth, but people that are not saved get wealth too, right? So I wanted to understand it real deeply, and I said, Lord, show me what you mean by that. So I did a lot of prayer and meditation on it, and he said, well, what I need you to do, I need you to go back to Genesis, okay? Everything starts in Genesis, right? And so Genesis is the foundation of wealth creation, okay? And here's what he said. There's many of the concepts that we talk about in wealth creation are found in Genesis. Creation itself, right? You got to be pretty creative to create wealth, right? Other things like multiplication, we find that in Genesis. Blessing, we find in Genesis. Authority, power, all these kind of things that we find in Genesis. But what really kind of got me is when he took me to Genesis chapter 2, okay? So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 10 through 12. See, I'm trying to be a techie here, and I'm trying to find my stuff here. All right, verses 10 through 12. And it says this. It says, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first was the Pishon, or Pishon, whichever you want to go with. And it was the Pishon. And he said, there is gold there, and the gold of that land is good. Also, aromatic resin and onyx are also there. Now, it goes on to talk about the other rivers. There's the Pishon River, one called the Gihon, the Tigris, and the Euphrates. And so, me being trying to get ahead of God again, he brought me to that scripture, and I'm saying, so what are you trying to tell me about talking about these ancient rivers that are in the garden? And so I'm thinking, well, rivers flow, so maybe he's going to tell me something like cash flow. Okay, that goes real good, right? You know, just try to be creative. And it says, no, I don't even want you to think about that. He took me back to the very beginning of that scripture there, and he said, I want you to concentrate just where the first river was. It said it was in the river Pishon, and it went into this land called Havilah. And he said, in that land, there was gold in that land. And he said, the gold was good. And he said, there was also aromatic resin, and there was also onyx, okay? And he said, this is me and God having a dialogue. That's how I do things, okay? I just dialogue. I like what you said when you were preaching, Seth. You said, God's thoughts sound like your thoughts, right? And I like that because sometimes when you're hearing them from the Lord, you don't know if it's you, if you don't know if it's the Lord, but your thoughts, his thoughts sound like your thoughts. So I was in there and I was studying this, and he said, I want you to focus on that scripture there. And he said, how do you think that gold got there? I said, well, God, I'm not a rocket scientist, but you probably put it there. Okay. And he said, yes, that's exactly how it got there. And then he said, why was it there? I said, well, you're probably going to tell me, aren't you? And he said, of course I will tell you. So I want to share some things that he showed me with that, because here's what he said. He's deposited all kinds of wealth in the earth. I want you to think about that, because if you think about all the things that are in the earth, there's three categories. Precious metals, like gold, silver, copper, iron ore, those kinds of things. That platinum, okay? There's precious stones like onyx, as it said in this thing. What? Diamonds, emeralds, rubies. What else? Sapphire, emeralds, turquoise, marble. You just name it. There's all kinds of stuff that's in there. And then there's a third category, like fossil fuels, okay? Crude oil, natural gas, coal. So the earth itself is literally packed with wealth. I mean, if you could, you know, the earth is around like a ball. If you could cut it in half and you could see what was inside of the earth, you would see stuff that would blow your mind. The amount of wealth that's in the earth. And God said this to me. He said, I put that wealth in there for a reason. I put it for man to use it to generate wealth. Okay? It's there. Now, how much is there? We don't even know. Experts say that mankind has only touched a fraction of the amount of wealth that's in the earth. I mean, just a small fraction. And you know, and you hear the alarmist people talking about that we're running out of stuff. We're not running out of stuff. Because the way this stuff works, it reproduces itself over and over and over and over again. Okay? So when you hear somebody say, yeah, we're running out of stuff, and here's what God said to me about running out of stuff. He said, Clarence, if we're going to run out of stuff, you wouldn't see me running around in heaven going, my God, those people on earth, they're using way more stuff than I thought they were going to use. We didn't plan this very well. Now, God is a great planner, and God is a God of abundance. Okay, He gives us more of the stuff that we need. We always get more. I mean, think of the air. I mean, do we have enough air? Are we going to run out? No. God is a good planner, okay? So we've got plenty of stuff. So here's the thing that he wanted to show me. So just knowing that there's wealth in the ground is not enough, right? I mean, if you know it's there, it doesn't make you wealthy just because you know it's there. You've got to have a process by how you can turn that which is in the ground into wealth, okay? So he gave me kind of a four-step process. And here's what they are. Number one, it's discovery. Number two is extraction. Number three is refinement. And number four is redemption, okay? Discovery, extraction, refinement, and redemption. So let's use an example. Crude oil would be a good example, okay? Crude oil is in the ground, and how do you suppose crude oil was first discovered? I don't know, okay? I don't know. And not many people probably know. How many remember the show called The Beverly Hillbillies? You remember how it goes? Listen to a story about a man named Jay. A poor mountain man, kept his family. Jay. And then one day he was looking for some food. And up through the ground come a bubbling. Oh, y'all know it real good, don't you? Okay. Oil, that is. All right. Now that shows how old you are, too, right? All right. So think about this for a minute. This is the way I think, and I'm sorry, you know, you guys are probably thinking, he's going way out there. But think about this for a minute. So somebody stumbles along this crude, black, ugly, mucky stuff, okay? Because crude oil is stinky, right? And so, but somebody went down into the ground, touched it, and probably picked it up and said, huh, I can do something with this. Well, I know it's crude, but I can do something with this. Okay? This has value. Now, how they ever figured that out, I don't know, but that's the power of God. Okay? God sees value in things that we don't see as value. Okay? He takes the crude and turns it into something real refined. Okay? And so you see that, you discover it, but the next thing that you have to do is you have to extract it, right? You have to get it out of the ground. And so, again, let's just stay with crude oil. How they get it out of the ground is, you know, again, way above my head, but somebody figured out how to, you know, drill, you know, how to come up with all these tools and equipment, pumps and everything else, how to get all the stuff out of the ground, okay? Now, that takes a lot of wisdom, it takes a lot of skill, takes a lot of talent, takes a lot of ability. Where do you think that ability came from? It came from God himself, right? He shows that to mankind and that sort of thing. So getting it out of the ground, no small feat, right? But getting it out of the ground, again, doesn't make one rich, right? What do you have to do with it? You got to take it to the third step. What was the third step? You got to refine it, right? What do? So they pump oil out of the ground, then they ship it where? They ship it to the refinery to where it is refined, right? So it gets refined. How do they refine it? By heat. You ever heard of trial by fire? Okay, but think about this. I'm just going to stay with the oil right now, and we'll get into some other stuff. So it's heated up, and God is so good, because at different temperatures, when you heat up crude oil, you get different products. At one temperature, you might get diesel fuel. At one temperature, you might get gasoline. At another temperature, you get motor oil. At another temperature, you may get jet fuel. All these different products that will come out of this crude stuff simply by heating it up. But even the waste products out of there are used as well, okay? Some of the waste products that come out of there, you remember the, what's the show with the Christmas show? I'm losing my mind here. A Wonderful Life. George Bailey's brother, what business did he get into? Plastics, right? All kinds of plastics are made out of crude oil. Okay, you know what else is made out of crude oil, ladies? All your cosmetics. Next time you put lipsticks on your lips, think about what you're putting on there. It's made out of crude oil. Toothpaste is made out of crude oil. Motorcycle helmets made out of crude oil. Toilet seats are made out of crude oil. Okay, all kinds of things are made out of crude oil. All right? If you read about it, there's like thousands of products that have come out of crude oil. Pantyhose, on and on and on and on, okay? So you've taken it out of the ground now. You've discovered it. You've taken it out of the ground. You've refined it. Does that make you rich? What's the next step? You got to redeem it. You've got to take what's been refined. You've got to take it to the market where people buy it, right? Because if people find what your product valuable, they're going to pay you money for it, right? I mean, that's just how it works. And the more valuable your product is, the more money they're going to pay you, okay? So that's pretty much economics 101 stuff. You got to take it to the market. In a sense, you got to evangelize about your product, okay? You can have the best product in the world, but if nobody knows it, you're not going to sell much money, right? Okay, now stay with me. I'm going somewhere, I promise, okay? So, I was thinking, God, that's pretty cool. You just showed me the wealth creation process, okay? You showed me that you've placed valuable things in the earth, valuable resources in the earth, and you said you've shown man how to find them, you've shown man how to extract them out of the ground, you've shown man how to refine them, and then you've shown man how to take it to the market and make money out of it. That's pretty good stuff, God. I appreciate that, okay? And so I was ready to go because I thought that's real cool. And he said, no, well, hold on. Hold on. So he said this. He said, now, you know that I've placed wealth in the earth. I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, well, what are you made out of? What are you made out of? Of course, me, again, I'm slow kin. I said, well, I'm made out of skin, bones, hair, and all that. He said, no, you're not. What does it say in Genesis 2:7? He made man from where? Dust. the dust of the earth. So he said, look, if I put valuable resources in the dirt and you're nothing but a dirt bag, okay? That's all you are, guys. You're a bunch of dirt bags, right? That I blew into. How much more valuable things did I put in you?
Man,
I got shook up when he told me that. He said, because he said the things that I put in the earth are really valuable. You're talking about gold, silver, and diamonds, and rubies, and pearls, and all that kind of stuff. But he said, but the stuff that I put in you is even more valuable. And he said, I have the same thing in mind. If I deposit something in you, deposit is a financial term, right? So if I deposit something, I expect to withdraw it at some time. And that which I've deposited, I expect it to increase in value over time. What do they call that? Appreciation, right? So from the founding of the earth and the founding of the world, I place some things in you and I want it back. I'm going to pull it out. And he said, the process by which I used to convert all these things in the earth into wealth is the same process that I'm using to get the things out of you. So number one, you have to discover the things that God has put in you. How do you do that? Well, obviously you got to pray. You got to study the word. But I'm glad the young people are here tonight, because one of the things that you have to do is other people can help you discover what's in you, right? Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and then when he's old, he won't depart from it, right? We all know that scripture, right? When I read that in context with what God was showing me, he said a lot of times we misinterpret that scripture. Now, training up a child in the way he should go does mean that we should teach him the Word of God. Does mean that we should teach him moral values. It does mean that we should bring him to maturity. It does mean all those things. We're supposed to do those right things. But train up a child in the way he should go, not in the way you want him to go. That's the difference, right? The way he should go is based on what God has put in him. It's up to us as parents and leaders and teachers and youth pastors and everything else is to see what's in that child and begin to try to pull it out. Okay? And to begin to encourage them in, to walk in their gifts. Because too many times our kids want to be just like everybody else. And if they're made a little bit different, they stop doing that thing that seems a little bit weird. But we should be able to encourage them and pull that something out of them that they didn't even know was even in there sometimes. I'll give you an example. Some of you guys know I used to wrestle when I was in college, okay? But you know how I got started? I thought I was going to be a basketball player. All of 5'6" tall. But I thought I was going to be a basketball player. So when I was young, man, that's what I did. I played basketball. And I was in the sixth grade, and we were playing basketball. We were practicing basketball, and we were in our gym. And we're in a small town school, so we had one of those multi-purpose gyms. And on the other end of the gym was a stage. And on the stage, they had a group of guys on there on a mat, and they were wrestling. I didn't care about that because I was playing basketball. So my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Hislop, and he was one of those enforcer kind of guys in the school, okay? You know, he wasn't the principal, but he might as well have been the principal, because if anybody had trouble with a kid, you'd have sent him to Mr. Hislop, okay? He was that kind of guy. And so, but he was also the wrestling coach. And so we're out there playing basketball, and he walks over to my coach, and they start talking and everything. And then all of a sudden he says, Hawthorne! I'm playing basketball. Hawthorne! Come here! You know what I thought? I thought I was in trouble. I really did. Because back in those days, I used to get in some mischief and everything. And so he said, come here. And then he took me up on the stage, And he grabbed one of the wrestlers on his team, on the team, and he said, I want you guys to wrestle. I had never wrestled in my life. I had on my basketball shorts and my sneakers. You know, back then I had Dr. J's. Anybody remember Dr. J's? I had my Dr. J's on. And he said, I want you guys to wrestle. And I'm like, I swear, I didn't know anything about what I was doing. So this one kid gets up, and he's all hyper. He's ready to go. And so he said, yeah, I want you guys to shake hands. And this guy comes across the mat. He comes right at me. And I'm thinking in myself, oh, heck no. So I grabbed him, and I threw him, and I put him down on his back. And I just held him there, because I figured if I just held him there, he couldn't do anything. Okay? I didn't know anything about wrestling. Okay? But what he didn't know is I had five brothers. Okay? So I did some unofficial wrestling all the time, all right? And so he go, all right, let him up. I guess he thought it was the beginner's luck, and he did it again. He said, I want you guys to go again. So the kid come at me again, and I put him right on his back again. And he said, okay, you can go back. You can go back and play basketball. I thought we were done. The next day he comes up to me, and he says, you ever thought about wrestling? I said, not really. He said, that was the best guy that we had on the team, and you just destroyed him. That was the beginning of my wrestling career. But you know what? He saw something in me that I didn't see myself. He saw an ability, and he saw a talent that I might have that I didn't see. And he was bold enough to pull me into something that made me a little bit uncomfortable at the time, but eventually made me successful at it. What is in your child that you see? What is it that needs to be pulled out? See, I think kids have a certain bent. You'll see that pretty early on, right? Sometimes they're artistic, some are musical, some are athletic, and some are this or some are that. We should push them toward their bend, okay? Encourage them to be whatever it is. And don't do this. Here's the worst thing that we can do. Somebody says, no, I want to be a musician. You can't make any money doing that. So you might as well get a real job. So then you make them an accountant or something, then they're miserable the rest of their lives because they're not doing that which they were called to do. And that which God designed them to do. Okay? So we do the same thing. So we pull it out of them, we extract it, then we refine it by practice, you do education, you do training, you do experience, whatever it is that you have to do to get the skills that you need to do. And then if you get good enough at it, guess what? Now you're ready to take it to the market. See, the wrestling for me was a way to go to college. See, God is so smart. He knew that once I got to be the college age, there was no way that we could afford to go to college. I was raised by a single mom with five other brothers. Okay? That wouldn't have happened. Okay? But God knew that already. So in sixth grade, he had me wrestle. By my senior year, I won a state championship, got a full ride scholarship to Oregon State University. He knew, okay? What is it that's in our kids, not just in kids, what is in you that's still waiting to come out? That God still wants to extract, that God still wants to refine, that God still wants you to take it to the world. It's there. Now, so now I'm feeling pretty good because God had told me, you know, first that there was wealth in the ground and how you would do that and how you turn that into resources and into money. Then he's talked about what's inside of us, all the skills and all the talents and all the abilities and everything else. And if you refine your skill, and this here we go, young people again. You know, the more you refine your skill, the more people will pay for it. I mean, you can be a simple laborer, carpenter, or you can be a master craftsman. The simple laborer, the carpenter, is looking for a job. The master craftsman, the jobs look for him. Okay? People call where the talent is. People call where the expertise is. People call where the skilled ability is. And so I don't care what it is that you do, just do it well. Okay? And so if your kid tells you they want to be a musician, don't say, hey, you can't make money being a musician. Show them how to be the best musician they can possibly be. Then they're going to be that. Because here's the deal. They're going to be happy doing what God created them to do. That's the way they were made. All right? So I got to that, and I was feeling pretty good about it. And the scripture came across my mind. What profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So I just told you how to make money, right? What you can do to make money. You can get a talent. You can extract that talent out of you. You can refine that talent to a point to where you can take it to the market. And if you're good enough, or if you've got a good enough skill, you'll get a job, you'll get money, people will pay you for it, and everything else like that, right? So, but here's the thing that got me. I said, well, God, that's no different. That works for believers and non-believers alike, right? I mean, have you seen talent at non-believers? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? We see people in Hollywood that, you know, they're so far lost in terms of their spirit, but in terms of their ability and talent, they're way off the chart, okay? So I'm thinking, well, God, what's the difference there? And he said, it's all about the process. He says, the same process that you use to take wealth out of the earth and turn it into value, the same process that you use in yourself to turn that into value is the same process that I use to save you. He said, where are you going, Pastor Clarence? Okay, well, let's just go back to what we were just talking about. The first thing that God did is that he deposited wealth in the earth. And we had to discover it. You know, we lost our contact with our Heavenly Father because of sin. We know that, right? And since that time, people were, what were they doing? They were searching. They were looking. They were trying to discover someone who could bring them back into reconciliation with God. And God said, I had to do it myself. Okay? I had to do it myself. I had to take my spirit and I had to deposit into a dirt bag. That dirt bag happened to be a teenage girl named Mary. Okay? And I deposited my seed into her womb. 9 months later, I extracted that seed out of the womb. Okay? Deposit, extraction, then refinement. So after baby Jesus came on the scene, he came on the scene in a crude form, right? A baby's a crude thing, if you think about it, right? Because all they do is cry, poop, and pee, right? That's pretty, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's pretty crude though, right? That's true. Because babies are sweet though, too. If I had a secret job that I really want to do, I want to be a baby holder. Okay, because I just like babies, okay? I do. I like the way they smell. I know it's not manly and anything else like that, but it's a cool thing. But during Jesus' 33 years here on this earth, he was being refined, okay? He was being refined. How was he being refined? He was being refined by going through everything that we go through. The Bible says he was tempted with every temptation that we're tempted with. He dealt with sorrow. He dealt with heartache. He dealt with sickness. He dealt with all kinds of things. He dealt with betrayal. He dealt with people turning his back on him. He dealt with lust. He dealt with money issues, all kinds of issues. He was dealing with those things. Why? So he would know how we felt. He was being refined, if you will, okay? So when he was being refined, he was ready to be taken to the world. But God said, not just yet, okay? So God changed the process up just a little bit this time. He took Jesus, his son, now as an adult male, and he said, now I got to make him crude again. So what did they do? They beat him. They whipped him. They pierced him. They beat him so badly, the Bible says, that you couldn't even recognize him. That's crude, right? And they took this crude, bloody mass of flesh, and they put it on a cross, okay? And they put it on a cross. And then what did he do again? He did the same thing that he did from the very beginning. He took that crude mass of flesh, which, by the way, was the most valuable thing in the world, and what did he do? He put it in the ground, okay? He put it in the ground, and what did he do? 3 days later, he extracted it again. But here's the cool part about this, because while he was in the ground, he was being refined again. While he was in the ground, he was doing business down there. I like to say he was kicking butt and taking names. Okay? And you know what he did? He said, devil, I'll take Seth's name. And I'll take Tina's name. And I'll take Ken's name. In fact, I'll take the whole book. I take all the names. And so 3 days later, God extracts him out of the ground. Now we have something that we're ready to take to the entire world. And here's the thing. What we take to the world right now is the most valuable thing that we have. I'd rather have Jesus, right? It's the most valuable thing that we have. And we got to take it to the world. And here's the thing, this time though, it doesn't cost you anything. It's absolutely free. But you know what? Even that wasn't it. Because what happened to Jesus when he came up out of the tomb? He was here for a while, then what? He ascended into heaven, the Bible says, right? He wasn't done. He said, I got another deposit to make. I got another deposit to make. He said, I'm going to leave you with a helper called the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to deposit him in you. And you know what happens when I make a deposit? I want to make a withdrawal. Now, that Holy Spirit is going to help to refine you. What does the word say? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's refinement. Okay? So, while we're here on this earth, this is just the refinement process. And I'm telling you what, you're going to go through some things sometimes that you're not going to understand what they are. You're going to go through some hot stuff. You're going to go through some hard things in your life. Anybody been through some hard stuff? How many of you? We've all been through hard stuff. And sometimes we wonder, why, God? And God is saying, I'm refining you. I'm trying to get you to where I want you to be so I can make that withdrawal. Here's what God told me about going through tough stuff. If we had over here on this side of the room blessings and honor and good things and all that stuff, and over here curses and I don't want to say curse, I don't like that word. If you had things, heartache, pain, suffering, trials, and all that kind of stuff, which one would you choose? How many of us say, Lord, sign me up for some trials and heartache? Yeah, I'm the first one in line. None of us would do that, right? But he knows, just like we need the blessings and the good stuff, we also need the trials and the heartache. We also need the heat, the hot stuff in our lives to refine us into what he wants to be, what he wants us to be. Here's the last thing he said to me, and it made me kind of laugh a little bit. You ever notice that when you refine something like gold or silver or even diamonds or anything like that, what happens to it as you refine it? It gets really shiny, doesn't it? Gold gets shiny, copper gets shiny, diamonds get shiny, everything gets real shiny. You know what God said? He said, that's my glory. That's my glory coming out. Even at inanimate objects, my glory comes out of those things. Okay? And he said, I want that same shine in you. Remember that little song we used to sing in church? This little light of mine? I'm going to let it shine. And, you know, sometimes some people shine more than other people, don't they? You ever been around somebody that just got the glory of God all over them and they just seem to shine? But it's not that way with everybody. But here's what God is saying. He said, you don't know what level in the process any person is. I might be shining, you might be shining, this person over here may not be shining. That's okay. He might be in the early stages of the process. But if you let God work on him, if you let God do what he's going to do, if you let God work the process, he too will shine. And he'll be ready to take the message to the world. Because see, just like the song that they were saying, all the stuff about all the wealth and everything else, that's great. I hope everybody in here becomes a millionaire. That'd be fantastic. Because then we'd pay off the building tomorrow, right? Because I know that's what you do with your money, if you got it, right? Right. Okay. But at the end of the day, what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The stuff that we got inside of us, the Christ that's in us, that's the most valuable thing that we can have. And God says we can freely give it away. That makes you rich. The Bible says one that wins souls is wise. If you can give away that which is in you, that which God has put in you from the foundation of the earth, you're going to be wise. You're going to be rich. Oh, you may not have the biggest house in town. You may not drive the fanciest car in town. But I've seen a lot of miserable people driving fancy cars. Think about it. What step are you in right now? God has deposited his very Son's Spirit into your heart. And he wants to use it. He wants to refine it, and he wants you to take it to the world. So I want to pray for people tonight. I want two kind of prayers. Obviously, if you don't know Jesus, we want to pray for you for that. Okay? But I think there's another prayer that I want to pray tonight. And I think Teresa started this last week. There's some stuff in you. I know there's people in here right now that I know God is telling me to do this. But for some reason, you can't get it quite out of you. Or maybe you started and you stopped. Or whatever it may be. I want to pray for you for that, because whatever you have, the body of Christ needs. I always think, you know, when you come to church, you know how people say, yeah, you come to church, man, and you know, I'm just not getting anything. And I said, that's not the way to look at it. Well, yeah, what are you giving? What are you bringing to the table? Because when you're gone, you're missed. You might have the very thing, I'm selfish, you might have the very thing that I need. Okay? And I might have the very thing that you need. These gifts that he's put in us, they're not yours. They're his. And he wants to use them for his glory. He wants you to shine with his glory for his glory. So That's the other prayer that I want to pray. Because I know there's, I talk to people all the time who say, you know, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Or I'm trying to do this thing and I just don't seem to get anywhere, okay? I want to pray for that as well. And then we'll just see what God does, amen? So give us some music, and if y'all want to come down for prayer, come on down.